I had another message that I announced I would preach tonight, but today, when I was at my study desk, the Lord burned into me a message and said, "That's your message for tonight." So perhaps he'll give me permission to preach the other message that I have on my heart as well. But this is a momentous day for me because I'm celebrating my 82nd birthday. And the Lord directed my mind to some of the birthdays of the Bible, the momentous birthdays of the Bible. I asked you how many birthdays are mentioned in the Bible, how many times is the word used? You couldn't answer it. I couldn't answer it. It's only twice is the word birthday mentioned in the Bible. Two kings. I'll come to them if you don't already have thought out who they were. Two kings that had birthdays. The most momentous birthday of all that the world ever witnessed, I call it the highest birthday. It was the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Its person was the highest of all. Who was born at Bethlehem? The Son of Man. Who was the Son of Man? He was the Son of God incarnate in the flesh. How wonderful it is to take our Bibles and to read the verdict of God on the incarnation of his dearly beloved Son. He sent an angel to the city of Nazareth, to the home of the Virgin Mary. And in the Gospel according to Luke, and if you have your Bible, certainly turn to this passage for a moment. You have these words unparalleled in all of time and in all eternity. The second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verse 32. And in that, or the first chapter of Luke, I should say, verse 32. And here's what we read. "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." With what reverence we must read those words. The holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. King of glory, reign forever. Thou, thine an everlasting crown. Nothing from thy love can sever those whom thou hast made thine own. Happy objects of thy grace, destined to behold thy face. The highest birth of all, unparalleled in all history, stamped with eternity, was the incarnation of God the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. What a birth was that! No wonder the angels left heaven and swept down to the mountains of Bethlehem and burst the bonds of their invisibility so that they could be seen. And they cried, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." What a day that was in the calendar of this earth, the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But over against that highest of all birthdays, my mind was directed by the Spirit to the heinous birthday. You can contrast the birth of our Lord to all the births of Adam's fallen race. In the very conception of our birth process, the heinousness of our sin is hallmarked and recorded. "Behold, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. From the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is no soundness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores." At every birth but the birth of Christ, there was the dark, dark stains of sin, the curse of a fallen race. Everyone is born with an iniquity which cannot be measured, and with a heart as black as the heart of hell and Satan himself. Oh, set the holy birth, the highest birth of all, against the birth of sinners. But there's hope for us, because the one who had the highest birth, they called him Jesus. What does Jesus mean? "He shall save his people from their sins." God's answer to our sinful births by Adam's fall is the wonderful, highest birth of all, the birth of his Son into this world, to seek those that are lost. But I thought then of a very hateful birthday, of a king called Herod, a wicked king. He had an evil mistress whom he called his wife, but she had no right to be called the wife of the king. And she had a daughter, and that daughter was also the servant of Satan. And both mother and daughter sought to destroy any religion that was in the heart, any true religion that was in the heart of Herod. You say, was there any true religion in his heart? There was. Because he heard John the Baptist gladly. And the Bible tells me he did many things and turned away from things that were wrong because he had heard the old-fashioned prophet, the man that was the Elijah of the New Testament, preach the gospel and calling him to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You know the story, the dance hall, the lustful king, the wicked mistress, and the murderer's daughter. And that night as the dance was on, and the loud sound of dancing shoes on the palace floor, there was an axe produced in the prison, and the man of God was beheaded. But the man of God, on his beheading, went for his reward to the God he loved and the God he served. The Lord Jesus, we read, was so grieved at his death in this terrible way that he left the neighborhood and departed from it. That, of course, is the hateful birthday. But there is another birthday in the Old Testament. And it also takes in the king's palace, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. And the Bible tells us, truly, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. But that coming birthday was a harrowing birthday. Why? There were three men in the prison. One was the innocent Joseph. The other was the king's butler. And the other was the king's baker. And at the king's birthday, the royal prerogative was always called into use. And the king decided who he would forgive and whom he would hang. Not long before the king's birthday, the butler and the baker dreamed, and they both dreamed a dream which was stamped with 3 days. And they didn't know what to think or what to say. And the prison attendant, Joseph, said, "You look very sad today." And they said, "We are. We both have dreams." And they told Joseph the dreams. And Joseph said to the butler, "You're going to get complete forgiveness." He said to the baker, "You're going to be hung up and you're going to die." And then he turned to the butler and he said, "Please remember me. I'm an innocent man. I ought not to be here. Please remember me." And the king's birthday came. It was harrowing indeed. For the baker, for he was hung up on a tree. It was gladness for the butler, for he was released. But the one who bore the sorest blow was a man that told them what was going to happen because he was forgotten completely, wiped from the mind of the butler. And so young Joseph had to continue. It is reckoned that he did well over 10 years in that prison. So there he was, 10 years behind him. No release. That was a harrowing birthday. You know, that story reminds me of another two men. One a thief and the other a thief. And one of them said to the Lord, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord remembered him. And today, the Lord promised him right away that he would be in paradise. But the other man, he blasphemed the Master and the Savior, and he died and went into a Christless hell. Eternity, eternity, where will you be in eternity? So we have the highest of birthdays. We have the heinousest of birthdays. We have the most hateful of birthdays. We have the harrowing birthday. But there's some, that one that I want to lay emphasis on. We have the happy birthday. Three times the word born again is used in the New Testament. Twice in John's Gospel chapter 3 and once in 1 Peter 1:23. Ye must be born again. The theologian who first heard that message, he was amazed. And he said, "How can a man who is old enter a second time into his mother's womb and been born?" Second birthdays. "We don't understand what you're talking about." The Lord said to him, "No, I'm talking about an earthly thing, and you can't understand it. If I told you the mysteries of the gospel, you couldn't understand them at all. But let me repeat it. Ye must be born again." The only way to heaven is by the new birth. By the reconstruction, by a new birth of your inmost soul. A miracle has got to take place. A life-changing miracle. That's why the waters of baptism are useless as far as salvation is concerned. That's why the Lord's Supper is useless as far as salvation is concerned. That's why church membership is useless as far as salvation is concerned. Ye must be born again. And the Lord Jesus said, "Oh yes, you can understand where the wind comes from. You hear it sound, but you canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone." A person that's born again is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. The new birth is a miracle. Because salvation is a birth, and a new man or a new woman is born when they are born again. I remember praying in the old church at a night of prayer, and there was a man knocked on the window and came in. And that man was well known. He was a big businessman, trade union leader in our society. And he said to me, he said, I had a mother who prayed for me, and I know the gospel. But he said, look at me tonight. It was late on a Saturday morning. He stank of the liquor that he had been consuming that day from lunchtime. He says, I'm a mess. And I said to him, yes, you are, and you can do nothing about it. But I know one who can do everything about it and can save you from your cups and bring you on the way to heaven. He said, I know. My mother told me that. But he said, I'm not going to give up the liquor. Well, then I said, if you don't give up your sin, there's no pardon for you. Pardon comes to those who confess their sins. You're not going to do it. But another night of prayer, I remember when the worst drunkard in this neighborhood, well known, came in. And by the grace of God, he was saved and became a testimony to the whole neighborhood. He had been in his cup so long that when they heard he was sobered, the physicians of the hospital that had given so many of these dry out treatments, as they called it, they asked him to come and address them. And he said, you know, they'll throw me out, Ian. And they brought him in, and they had, I think, about 50 physicians there from all over the countryside and many from England as well. And they held up this man as a testimony to the drying out progress. And then he called him to speak. And he said, I'm afraid I have to disappoint you. I said, I was dried out, I think he said, 7 times. And when you shook hands with me and I left the hospital, you said I would never drink again. And he said, 5 o'clock that evening, I was astonishingly drunk and back to the old ways. But he said, I want to tell you, I met a physician one day. They call him Dr. Jesus. And he just touched me with his hand. But his hand was a nail-pierced hand. And I've never drunk since, and never will. You know what they did? They threw him out of the meeting. They said he's mad. He's a madman. And those doctors assisted at the door and said, I won't be here. He said, but I'm cured. You couldn't do it. But the Lord did it. And he said to him, he said, you boys need the same doctor that met me. You need to meet him. And thank God he lived and died rejoicing in the power of Christ. Christ can save to the very uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, he's a living Christ, to make intercession for us. You say to me, sinner, if I trusted Christ, I couldn't keep it. No, you couldn't. Salvation is not keeping anything. Salvation is Christ keeping you. And he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. I picked up an old hymn book today, and in it was a hymn, "Sinners, this solemn truth regard. Hear all ye sons of men, for Christ the Savior hath declared, ye must be born again. Our nature totally depraved, the heart a sink of sin. Without a change, we can't be saved. Ye must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and flesh it will remain. Then marvel not that Jesus saith, ye must be born again. Spirit of life, thy grace impart, and breathe on sinners slain, and witness, Lord, in every heart, that we are born again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. Heed the Lord's word to your heart. Sinner, come to the cross and call on the name of the Lord. And he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And thank God, shall be saved. Call upon him. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And we thank thee for that day in our own experience when we came to Jesus as we were, weary, worn, and sad, and found in him a resting place, and he did make me glad. Lord, I remember kneeling at that old pew. I remember my mother pointing me to the cross. I remember I looked and I lived with life everlasting. My men and women and boys and girls this night, look to Christ and be saved forevermore. And everybody said, amen.